Here is Radio New York Folk Music Worldwide. A program devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, showcasing the top performers and authorities in the field. Now your host for Folk Music Worldwide, Alan Wasser.
With us today is Mr. Israel Young, director of the Folklore Center in New York, and an expert on the rebirth of folk music in New York City. Mr. Young, you've been active in folk music in New York for about 20 years now. What was it like when you got started?
Well, in the early days, it was very simple. First of all, we didn't just have folk singing. We had folk dancing also. The people danced and they sung. I feel a little bad today that people only sing and very few are interested in the dancing. At that time, there were also very few singers. There were very few recording companies. People sang only for fun. People didn't think in terms of making a living, since there was no living to be made. There was one group of people that believed folk music had to be pure. They could sing songs only the way it was sung in the Southern Appalachians, since that was the music mainly known, the music that came from England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. There was another group of people that believed folk music had a political importance. When they did a square dance, instead of saying swing your partner or swing your corner, they would say swing your union maid. If you joined either group, you were considered a nut or a leftist or esoteric. I'm very happy to say that in those 20 years, there's been a tremendous change. There are a few heroes from that early time. You have people like Richard Dyer Bennett, who started out as a purist, who took a particular kind of song, who tried to recreate the idea of a minstrel in America, the idea that existed in Europe in the 15th, 16th, 17th century. He studied under the last surviving minstrel in Sweden. He came back to America, and he recorded for various people, and now he even has his own label. I think it would be very nice if we could play one song from one of his albums called Greensleeves, which first was written in England around the 16th century. It's mentioned by Shakespeare in one of his plays. It's used as a play party. It's used as a Morris dance. It was used by the Jacobites, it was used by the anti-Jacobites, it was used for the Queen, against the Queen. It's been used as a children's rhyme, as a game.
All right, fine. This is Richard Dyer Bennett doing Greensleeves.
Discourteously, when I have loved you so long, delighting in thy company. Greensleeves is my delight, greensleeves is all my joy. Greensleeves is my heart of gold, and who but my lady Greensleeves? My lady
Mr. Young, what happened after Richard Dyer Bennett and the others got folk music started in New York City?
Well, at that time, also, along with the purists, there were the people that believed that the city people also have a heart, not just the people from the country. It was important to take the material from the country and use it. In fact, people like Pete Seeger, who formed the Almanac Singers, they took foreign songs, they sang songs of the Spanish Civil War, they sang, you know, songs from all over the world, but they also sang Southern Appalachian songs. They didn't care too much about pressing their own personality. The song was important. They believed that you could have a good time with folk music, that folk music was there for everybody to enjoy. And because of that, Pete Seeger has been one of the primary forces in the modern great rebirth of folk music in America. He's encouraged more people than anyone. I mean, Eric Darling of the Rooftop Singers started out as a student of his, if not an actual student, an admirer. Bob Gibson started out with him. Dave Godd of the Kingston Trio always gives him great credit. I mean, in fact, there's hardly a person in the field that has not been touched by the ideas of Pete Seeger. His ideas are very informal. You can take music from everywhere. He believes just actually right, any culture person in the world believes that there's an interaction between folk music and the cultivated music of the time.
What is it that made Pete Seeger so influential? What did he do that influenced people in so many ways?
To perform what Richard Dyer Bennett did, you would have to be a trained musician. You'd have to learn classical guitar. You'd have to take voice lessons to develop your tenor qualities. With Pete Seeger, a lot of people are hurt by this. You can just take a guitar. You can take a banjo. You can strum, play for yourself. And if you wanted to go deeper, you could go deeper. Pete Seeger's interest was not to make you go deeper. If you wanted to, good, he would help you. If you just wanted to play with it and enjoy it as a natural part of your tradition, Pete Seeger was always there. I think it would be good to take an example of an album of his called Nonesuch, in which he plays with Frank Hamilton. Frank Hamilton is a brilliant guitarist from Chicago who's taken his place in the Weavers now. And they take an old English tune, Nonesuch, and they play with it, which I think is a very natural thing to do. In other words, each generation should take the old material and express it what it means to them. And I think he does that very well in this song.
All right, fine, let's hear that.
Represent the easygoing attitude toward the folk music. You can take folk music from anywhere. You can sing a song by Bach. You can sing a song by Irving Berlin. You can also sing a song from a Negro sharecropper in the South. And in this case, he takes an English dance tune and plays with it because it's a beautiful melody. He announced to the world that folk music does not belong only to people in isolated pockets, you know, culture in the South and North or West or the East. There's room for the commercial aspects of folk music. And there's also room now for a serious interest or a purist interest.
Well, now, how would you say Seeger is different from, one of contemporary groups such as Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Well, my idea, again, is that good folk music is good fun. I feel that really good folk music can stand on a stage and has real commercial values. People that put down commercial music, I think, are wrong. There is good commercial music and bad commercial music. The same holds true with folk music as such. There's good ethnic folk music and there's bad ethnic folk music. I think a person today in the city has a not only a right, but a mandate to take the things that happen to him, the things that mean to him are not things anymore that happen on farms, since we don't live on farms. We're not working in the coal yards. We're not working in the mines or in the butcher and in the slaughterhouses. The natural surroundings today are books and records. The city person is sophisticated. He has a different responsibility than a country singer. When you hear a country singer, you don't think of good and bad. You hear a Kentucky woman singing a hymn, and you get a feeling, you get a smell of the people down south. You can see a church. It's part of her body, the singing. A city singer doesn't have this, but he has an extra sophistication. He can take material from anywhere, and something from a book, a novel, a film, can affect him in exactly the same way that a natural disaster can affect the farmer.
Are there any songs that have actually come from books at all?
Well, Pete Seeger, for example, in his consummate genius, many years ago, picked up a spare phrase in Sholokhov's novel, In Quiet Flow of the Dun, and the idea of where have all the flowers gone, how the generations regenerate and things repeat. And he added music to this, and he just sang it around. He never plugged it or pushed it just the way he does. He may have sung it at a concert. And then it was picked up by Peter, Paul, and Mary, and it became the top song in America. And again, to prove the idea that the city music is coming into the fore. This particular song was picked up by Marlene Dietrich, and it was written as Sag mir, wo die Blumen sind. And that sold about 300,000 copies in Germany. And now she's so pleased with that she's doing it in 26 other languages. Here's a simple message from a not-so-simple person from the city that affects simple persons and unsimple persons at the same time.
Well, here is Peter, Paul, and Mary then doing Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone?
Pick them, everyone.
Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone?
Long time ago. Gone long time ago. Where have all the husbands gone?
Gone for soldiers, everyone.
Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time ago. the soldiers gone. Gone to graveyards, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago.
That was Peter, Paul, and Mary doing Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And this is Alan Wasser, Radio New York Worldwide's Folk Music Worldwide. We'll be back talking to Israel Young, director of the Folklore Center in New York, just after this message. Well, this is Alan Wasser again, back at Folk Music Worldwide with Israel Young. Specialty is the music of the city, folk music of the city. Mr. Young, we've covered Richard Dyer Bennett, Pete Seeger, the Weavers, Peter, Paul, and Mary, but it seems to me that we've left out a very important part of modern city folk music, the Kingston Trio. They're different from most groups now doing folk music, aren't they?
Well, they're different in that they're the first of the modern groups. I mean, in 1948 or so, you had the group, the granddaddy group is the Weavers, of which Pete Seeger was a part. And that kept folk music up in a certain area for a long time. They made songs like Saint It, Saint It popular, you know, and the common songs of the South. About 5 or 6 years ago, probably longer now, actually, a group of kids performing on the West Coast got together. They used to play at parties. They all belonged to fraternities. And they sang just for the fun of it. And then after a while, people started liking them. And they sang for the bigger parties. And they appeared at the Hungry Eye in San Francisco. And they became a overnight sensation in America. Now, a lot of people deplore this. But I think it's all very healthy. Because they have taken music from all over the world. They have tried to find what it is that makes folk music tick. And they have the popular pulse in America, and they don't sing it in a phony way, really. They sing it the way folk music means to them. In other words, if they hook it up, that's their life. They hook everything up. They're big money makers, so they sing the way big money makers sing. In other words, I think it's perfectly natural, and there's perfect room for it.
What would you say would be a good example of the way they sing?
Well, there's a song that was originally collected and made popular by Cynthia Gooding, a very fine singer, with a small audience, but devoted audience, who's in Spain now studying the music still more. And she sang the song La Bamba, and the Kingston Trio picked it up from her. And they do it in a very wild way, but still you can recognize the original force and power of the music the way Cynthia Gooding sings it.
All right, then, here's the Kingston Trio doing La Bamba.
Para bailar la bamba, para bailar la bamba, necesito un poco de gracia. Un poco de gracia, chicas, siete y arriba, y arriba. Y arriba, y arriba, 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 no soy marinero. Yo no soy marinero, porque seré bamba. Dicen, en mi casa
I'm awfully sorry, but I'm afraid our time is up again. We've been talking to Israel Young, director of the Folklore Center in New York and an expert on the rebirth of folk music in New York City. Let me just comment again quickly that if any of our listeners want to comment or make any suggestions or just let us know you were there, why don't you write in to me, Alan Wasser, or to the show, Folk Music Worldwide, Melbourne, and we'll give you the address in a moment.
This has been Folk Music Worldwide. Devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, spotlighting top performers and authorities in the field. If you have any suggestions, requests, or comments, why not write in to Folk Music Worldwide, Radio New York, WRUL, New York City, 19, USA. This has been a Music Worldwide presentation of Radio New York Worldwide.